Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. All the world's a stage, and all men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances, and one man in his time plays many parts. William Shakespeare. Definitely not my words. But it teaches us something important about our gospel text for today. Our sermon for this morning focuses on the gospel appointed for the day, especially these words. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them, but Jesus only. On top of the mountain, Jesus appears with Moses and Elijah, but then, upon this declaration of God, they disappear. What gives? Why would God bring these two men back to earth simply to take them away again? And then what's up with this whole change in Jesus' appearance, right? It says his clothes were bleached, sort of like this white robe, but brighter than anyone could ever possibly bleach them on earth. And his face, his appearance is literally changed in some way. What does it all mean? Well, consider this. All of salvation history is like a stage set for a play. And who's the author of all of this but God himself? He is the author, he's the director, and quite literally, he sets the stage. At the very beginning of time, he sort of puts everything in place. That way the play might be able to continue without any interruptions. And so he creates the heavens, he creates the earth, he creates all that is in them, knowing exactly what must happen and which roles must be taken and who needs to play those roles in order that the characters that live on this earth might be guided to where they need to be. People speaking when they need to speak, acting when they need to act, everything happening at just the right time, and it's all perfect. And yet, as God continues to guide and direct the actors on the world stage, they constantly mess it up. Right? He has written literally the perfect plan. And then they decide they're going to add and subtract from God's perfect plan. And so they insert these sort of scandalous improvisations into the show, so to speak. All right, Adam and Eve, there's going to be a tree in this next scene. Don't touch it. Don't eat the fruit. We all know how that goes. Moses, here we go. There's going to be a rock. I want you to talk to it. And so then Moses takes his staff and he smacks it instead. Come on, Moses, that wasn't part of the script. All right, Lot, you're up. When you're running away from the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, make sure that nobody looks back. And then we know that his wife obviously does and is turned into a pillar of salt. And so at a certain point, what happens is this author, God, he has a heart-to-heart conversation. He gathers all of these characters, all these people that he cares about, at the bottom of a mountain. And he says, all right, here are 10 rules I want you to abide by. And if you do, everything's going to be way better off for you. I'll continue to lead you, and you can continue to be part of this story until the very end. And so what do the people do after that moment? Well, they deviate, they grumble, they complain, they disregard and disobey God's 10 commandments. Sound familiar? This is us. Even on the world stage today, we're still doing the same thing. We're deviating. God has given us a great plan. He's told us how we ought to live godly lives. And what do? We improvise. Right? We deviate. We decide that maybe we're not going to do what God has prescribed. And maybe we'll try to make it better by doing what we want to do instead. Well, all of these different scenes and all of these different things that happen throughout the scriptures, they all sort of lead up to the climax. Jesus. And especially in this transfiguration account for today, we see why the entire story of salvation and sort of how it's come to a point that Jesus is the one who's exalted. And so it's almost like, you know, as we make it to this point, Peter, James, and John, they're going with Jesus, you know, Jesus' inner circle, his best friends. And they're going up a mountain, and they have no clue what they're going for. Right? Jesus, I mean, to this point, Jesus probably hasn't told them why they're going to be there, especially because once they make it up to the top, they're terrified. Right? They definitely weren't expecting to see what they see. And so, you know, every time Jesus sort of takes Peter, James, and John away from the rest of the group, something really exciting happens. And so on this occasion, Peter, James, and John, they must be like, oh my gosh, we're going to go up the mountain by ourselves with Jesus. And the excitement about what they're about to see had to be immeasurable. And so what's better? But once they actually make it to the top of this mountain, they see Moses and Elijah, two of the most prominent figures of the entire Old Testament. Moses being the lawgiver and Elijah being the most well-known prophet of his day and really of the entire Old Testament. And so they see these people, and Peter, he has sort of that pious, you know, well, this is great. Let's stay on the mountain forever. Which really is the stance of every Christian, because we're looking forward to the glory that God's going to reveal to us in heaven and being surrounded by all the saints, and it's going to be wonderful. But then all of a sudden they disappear. Let's stay here forever, and bam, they're gone. But really it's a gift. It's a gift to Peter, James, and John. It's a gift to all of us who are still gathered here. Because it means that the law represented by Moses, it's done. It's over. It's being fulfilled. The prophecy represented by Elijah, it's past. Instead, God is doing something new. The law will no longer be the measuring stick for humanity. The prophecies that were written down for our benefit are not the end-all, be-all to our salvation. Those have all departed. And they're both fulfilled in God's declaration. This is my beloved Son. Listen, not to Moses, not to Elijah. Listen to him. See, by these two men disappearing, it shows us that Jesus is the climax of this entire stage that has been set, this entire story that has been laid out since the beginning of time. Jesus is the most important part. Everything else passes away in the presence of Jesus. Now, Peter, James, and John, they get to see a glimpse of who Jesus really is. And what it shows us is that this author, this person who has sort of written out the entire story and set the stage and has been guiding all of the characters throughout the entirety of the whole thing so far, he actually graces the stage with his presence. And he gives his own performance. Jesus truly shows that he is God made flesh who dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. We see it in his appearance as he shines like the sun. We see it in the disappearance of Moses and Elijah. We see it in God's declaration to listen to this Jesus. And yet here we are. The vision is just for Peter, James, and John. And Jesus must still leave the mountain. Like I said, they wanted to stay. They wanted to be up there forever. They realized that Jesus is the real deal, and so they just want to be with him. But Jesus says it's time for us to go. Because although Jesus reveals himself as the most prominent figures, in fact, as Moses and Elijah and everything so far has all pointed to Jesus, this Savior person, the story's not over. Because if the story ends at the transfiguration, there's no death, there's no resurrection, there's no overcoming sin, there's no course correcting what Adam and Eve once destroyed. And so Jesus leaves the Mount of Transfiguration so he can ascend Mount Calvary. Jesus, as the God of the universe, rules from the throne of the cross, becoming the ruler over the heavens and the earth, becoming the ruler over death as he bleeds and breathes his last at a place called the place of a skull. He must accomplish all of it, because the truth is that even 2,000 years after this event, we're still creating scandalous improvisations into God's divine rule. We're still screwing up the story with our sin. Because the truth is, we've done it. Just as Moses, just as Elijah, just as everybody else. We need our sin to be atoned for, to be bled for, to be died for. And what's more, but we need Jesus to rise from the dead. Because in doing so, he truly does show that he is the culmination of this scripture, that he fulfills every single part. And he reveals it to everybody. See, the transfiguration, God's glory there was only for Peter, James, and John to see until Jesus comes back to life. And at that point, his glory is for the whole world to see, even you who have believed this testimony of Scripture. All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. We won't have the same role as those in the Old Testament. We won't have the privilege to see the transfiguration as Peter, James, and John, except, of course, through the testimony of Scripture. But as we still live on the stage of this world, what is your role? Salvation's been accomplished, but God continues to bring humanity here. Babies are still being born. Humanity still lives on this rock we call Earth. And so what is your role here at this point in the story? Well, if you really want to know, the Lord doesn't give you a script to follow. He gives you Scripture. And in Scripture, he tells us what our part is. Our part is to live to the praise of his glory. Because God has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Jesus Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things to himself. That means you. Your plan in this earth, your part of this story, is to be united to God in all things. Your part is simply to live your role in the salvation history that is revealed to you as one who lives in your baptism, as one who lives in forgiveness, as one who lives as somebody who has received Jesus, the climax of Scripture. The one who lived and died and lived again for your forgiveness, for your life, and for your salvation. Believe that, and your role is fulfilled. Thanks be to God. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.